Are you ready to learn? Because my super experienced guests are ready to share some really valuable information. Make sure and listen all the way to the end to get help and support. So let's start with the best audio experience.
Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Bad people, welcome to our show. Anyone who want to learn more about podcasts, about how to get results with this format, I love it. I listen to many podcasts because I have no time to learn with different formats when I'm training, driving, many things, even walking with my dogs, I can listen to podcasts. I love this format. I'm so excited to discuss this format with Yidri Chen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I like your smile, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're smiling all the time. So I get this positive environment. Yeah, you can give this energy. You know, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, and why you decided to use this format.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yes. Thank you for having me, first of all, here. My name is Deidre Chen. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Capshow, which is an AI-powered podcast content marketer. And really the journey, gosh, is a long one. I'll try to keep it short. But what really got me first into podcasting was because 3 years ago, I fell into coaching. I was again a little bit of a journey to get to that point, but COVID hit and that was a big impetus as for a lot of people to really transition online. And so that's how I kind of got into coaching. And my mentor at the time was like, well, the best way to actually find your voice and amplify your message is to start a podcast. And so that's what I did. I had no idea really how to do this podcasting thing. I didn't know how to edit any things. I was just like, okay, well, my mentor told me I'm a very coachable person. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start this podcast. I got this $53 microphone off Amazon. It was like, I don't even know what the brand is or anything. I was just like, well, podcasters have microphones, so I'm just going to get a microphone. I didn't know how to edit. So if I made a mistake, I would actually stop the recording and like re-record all over again because I didn't know how to edit out mistakes and things like that. So it was a bit of a journey to my podcasting journey. But honestly, podcasting is why, when I figured it out, and hi, Amjad. Sorry, I don't know if I'm totally butchering that. I'd love to talk about why AI is important, but and I'm sure we'll get there actually. But part of the journey was really figuring out, because I had this podcast and I had this coaching business, and I was like, this seems ridiculous that I'm trying to grow two things at the same time. And I had to kind of make the decision to go all in on really structuring sort of the funnel as such, as to how the podcast would be able to actually help me monetize on the coaching side of my business. And once I did that, I figured out how to actually promote my podcast effectively and actually grow it. In my first year of doing that, we did multiple six figures in our coaching business because of how we were able to get our podcast discovered and how we were able to use our podcast to actually nurture our potential clients to really create such strong know, like, and trust that when we then launched, it became a no-brainer for them to buy into it. So that's kind of part of my podcasting journey. That's where we started, at least.
Nice. I love your journey. Love it. Love it. And I have a bunch of questions, but I want to reply to this question, why AI is important. So yeah, you can go ahead, you know, to reply to this question, because yeah, I think it's important today to know more about AI.
Yes. So AI is not a new thing. I think it's just become, it feels like it is because of, how quickly ChatGPT kind of exploded onto the scene. But I actually started really learning about AI almost a decade ago. My past life was, I was in banking, actually. That was my corporate career. And I had just joined the innovation team. So this was a bank in Australia. It's the biggest investment bank in Australia, called Macquarie Bank. They had set up this new team, the innovation team, and I joined that team. And my whole role pretty much was to explore emerging technologies. So I was looking at things like blockchain and, of course, AI, and really trying to figure out what the different use cases was for AI. Now, you can imagine over 10 years ago, AI was kind of different in terms of like how it was built and how easy it was to access. And so at the time that we were doing this, it was very much about what I learned was having to have a specific use case to be able to bring AI to life. So I was kind of like learning about that. And then I went on my own entrepreneurship journey, you know, went into hospitality and e-commerce, and I had my own agency and then fell into coaching. So it was a whole journey to that. But what I really realized because, and then I sort of figured out how to grow my podcast and what I had to do. And honestly, it sucked. Like it sucked having to create the content that I had I was getting burnt out. My team was getting burnt out. It was not good. And so when we go like, why is AI important? Like the reason why I created Capture, and we actually just celebrated our 1 year birthday. But the reason why was because doing some of the things that we were doing manually, like with people, was, as I said, it sucked. It was burning us out. And so I was like, I know about this AI thing. If we can leverage this technology to actually make this way more efficient, not only from a time perspective, but actually uplift our quality, then that is how AI really becomes core to what it is that we do. So that's what that's my roundabout way of answering the question. Why is AI important? Is because if you want to be able to, whatever your outcome is, whatever goal it is, if it's business, even if it's life, if it's, I just have a newborn and I just want to be able to spend more time with my family, then you're going to need to find ways to not only make things that you do more efficient, i.e. cut down time, but you want to do it in a way that actually uplifts your quality, because there's no point in cutting down time if all you're producing is rubbish, right? Like it's just garbage. Yeah. So that's really the crux of where I fundamentally believe that AI can help all of us in.
Yeah, nice. Valuable. You know, I think it's not the question AI is important. It's very important. Because, for example, you know, when I'm talking about AI, I can imagine when farmers got the first tractor. You know, how you can compete with farmers who drive tractors? You know, you can't. You can't dig manually. You can't beat them. It's the same with AI. Yes, we still do some job manually. Yeah, that's okay, because AI is not a golden button. It's just tool that can help you to save your time. And Jeff Coyle, co-founder of Market News, told on my podcast, in the future, we'll have three companies. The first company will develop AI. The second company will implement AI. And the third company will be obsolete, who can leave the trade. You know, it's only beginning of the journey. Please, guys, take this tractor and go ahead. Think how you can use it. Don't rely 100%, but use it to save your time. You know, I use a lot AI because I know it's important for me to save my time. And if you feed AI with dry data, you can get great results. For example, we got mentioned on CNN, Forbes, many other great websites because we edit press releases on AI. So AI can understand the style of Forbes and CNN. That's why we got results with them. So, and we have another question about, we have the podcast about podcasting, but many questions about AI. So let's do it. What do you think? Is it a good idea to create content with AI?
Yeah. So from a content perspective, I'll kind of go from any kind of anchor content. And when I say anchor content, I mean kind of long form audio or video content. So there's kind of a few parts to it. And I'll talk about podcasting specifically as the example. But anyone who podcasts or creates any type of long form audio or video content knows that there's a few pieces to actually bringing content to life. The first is like the idea generation. It's like, okay, what am I actually going to talk about? What do my audience care about? So that's one part that we can actually use AI very effectively in. There's another part, which is the actual I call it recording broadly, but it's recording kind of is everything from like if we script or at least kind of have an outline of what it is that we want to talk about to actually recording. So turning on the video, the camera, or turning on the microphone. And then that's one part of it. So we've got the idea bit, we have the recording part, we have the publishing part, and then we have the marketing of it. Because whenever I talk to podcasters, everyone knows this as a podcaster, is that it takes so much effort just to do the first three steps that by the time you get to the last one, which is to actually market the dang thing, you're exhausted. Like, I'm like, I don't want to have to look at this freaking thing again, this episode. How in the world am I going to market it? And so this is where AI can, like, actually AI plays a part in all the whole journey, but this is especially in the marketing part of it, is where we can really get pretty cool things. So if we go through the journey, okay, so idea generation, you know, ChatGPT, no brainer to leverage, to be like, it's a great brainstorming assistant. It's like, okay, well, this is my audience. This is kind of the topics I like talking about. This is a specific topic that I want to talk about. Hey, give me some different perspectives or some different ideas about how I can approach that particular topic, right? Great there. It's so great for idea generation. Now, the second part, which is what I call the recording, which is the scripting and then the actual recording, this is kind of where I draw the line personally from leveraging AI. And the reason why is because fundamentally, I want to be the expert on, it's my stories, it's my expertise that I need to be sharing. Otherwise, if I'm getting AI to write it for me, which I know people do, and look, no shade to them, that's a personal choice, but fundamentally, I know that the only way that I can create connection with my audience is if I'm truly authentic with the core content that I create. And the same goes with the actual recording. Like, I know that there are AI tools out there that can, you know, do like clone your voice and even clone, you know, you as a person. And like, look, not never say never. I think I probably will at some point lean into that. But for now, all of the, like, one part of creating connection is sharing your stories and your expertise. The other part of creating connection is actually your voice or the way that you look. Like, you know, one of the first things that you said to me was how my smile, like, lit up. Yeah. You just can't get that with an AI generated anything, right? Like, you don't get this kind of connection. Even all the mistakes, all the ums and ahs, and the, you know, or the way that I talk, which is like completely imperfect, that's actually a way of creating connection. So I fully fundamentally believe that second step of, you know, the scripting and recording should be you as the person. But then when we get into then the publishing and the marketing of it, because you've created that anchor content that stems from you, from your stories, your expertise, the rest of it gets to be relatively automated. That's really where AI can come and play a big role. And that's why we created Capshow. Because now it's just about, okay, how do we grab your content? And all we're doing is we're just like picking the best parts out of it and amplifying those in different ways. So that's kind of, you know, we asked about that, you know, the content creation process and where AI can play a part. That's fundamentally what I believe, where I believe AI can really be powerful.
Nice. Valuable. Yeah. By the way, I want to get back to your smile. You know, I think it's external, you know, I see external side of your smile, but it's important to have this energy internal. Can you tell your resource, you know, how to get this energy to stay positive? Because I think if you hide your face in the podcast, but I still get this energy, I still get your positive mindset. So can you give me this resource? Because I need it and my audience needs this resource.
As in how to like create the energy, how to get the energy? Oh, wow.
To stay positive, to stay positive. Smile.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you know, I think serious people are not productive. They're not productive. If they only think about the job, I'm not sure they can get results. You need to enjoy the process.
Okay, cool. I have a couple of things to say about this because I've been really working on this. So the first is I've been reading this book called, two books. So by the same author. But one is 10X is Easier Than 2X. So that's by Dr. Ben Hardy and Dan Sullivan. And one component, what they talk about in that book is this concept of the gap and the gain. And so then I've been reading the actual book that they wrote specifically on the gap and the gain. And that's been a really, really great resource for me to just reframe a lot of the things that, because especially as startups and business owners, like we go through a lot. And a lot of times we can, because as entrepreneurs, we're high achievers. And so we can sometimes beat ourselves up. I know I definitely do. I beat myself up all the time about things that the smallest things that go wrong. But I think it's just constantly thinking about how, like, rather than being in the gap about it, which is kind of almost really dwelling on the negative side of it. Like, what's the gain? Because everything that goes wrong there's always a learning, right? But we also do a terrible job as entrepreneurs, as business owners, at celebrating even the small wins. So if we can constantly keep ourselves in the gain, that's been a big game changer for me. So every night I'm trying to get more consistent at this, I will write down three gains that I had in the day, and then three gains that I am aiming to achieve tomorrow, the next day.
Yeah.
And so I do that every time before going to bed, and it's been really, really great to just like stay in that positive frame of mind of, okay, like everything's been a win. I've gained things, and tomorrow I'm going to keep gaining. So that's the first thing that I would share. The second thing about, like, you know, you talk about the fun, and I think you're absolutely right that people who find success, they need to find the joy in what it is that they're doing. What I found has been sort of me figuring out the joy in what I do is, you know, we have a software product, right? Software product can sometimes be very transactional, or very, you know, it's just like, it's a thing that you buy into, you subscribe, and then it does its thing, and then just great. But my whole vision for what we call our Capshovians, so our clients who use Capsho, is how is it that we can help them succeed, and how do we delight them in the process? And because that's part of our vision and our mission, it's like everything that we do is all about delighting them. And we have a ton of fun doing that. It's like full permission to the whole team to think about all the different ways that we can delight our Capshovians. So, you know, our welcome video, for example, that we've literally just created is our co-founding team dressing up in sloth onesies and, like, you know, doing like a celebration dance and things, like just being silly and goofy. But that's like fundamentally, it's our brand, which people again connect with, but it's also us just having fun with it. This stuff doesn't have to be serious. So I think that's, you know, just, yeah, how do you just almost, and that fun, by the way, translates to your audience, right? The more fun that they see you having, the more that they want to be part of it. So it's actually this really great self-fulfilling thing. So I know I went on a bit about it, awesome. But I love it.
yeah, awesome. I couldn't agree more. I think, yeah, you need to enjoy the process. I remember when I started one project because of chasing money. Yeah, I felt that the gap in market. So I invested a lot of money, hired a big team. And at that time, I hated Monday and loved Friday.
Yes.
For 3 years, And after that, I quit. I gave up. I told myself, I will never take any project because of money. If you don't enjoy the process, you can't get any money. You can't achieve wealth. You need to love what you do and don't care about money. Money will come. Yes. Everything will come. But when you love it. So basically it's more important. Yeah. And we have, again, one more question about AI. What do you think AI is going to replace real time physical business into virtual? Yeah, good question. What do you think?
I don't think it will replace. So let me talk you through my thoughts about this. I do think that there's going to be much more happening in the virtual space. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of work happening about the metaverse, whether or not that's going to become a big thing. It's still to be seen, but it's there and there's work happening on it. So there is going to be a push into virtual. Now, when it comes to AI, there's a few things that's going to happen. So one is that, yes, it will you know, we talk about, I think the example in the question is, we'll take human places like workers in agricultural fields or home maids, I guess, like cleaners and stuff. The funny thing is, like I was just reading this report, is that that's where we all thought that AI was going to first replace people. But funnily enough, it's actually more happening in more professional spaces, right? When we see that with ChatGPT and, you know, it's happening in consulting, for example, there's lawyers using it to, you know, write their cases. Like, so it's actually happening more in the professional space rather than even the actual physical business. Now, that's not to, so it's been weird because no one really expected that, but it's happening there. Now, that's not to say that it's not going to happen in the physical business, but you know, with robots and things like that. But it's kind of like with every technological push. So even when the industrial revolution happened, like, yes, you know, with, you know, the Ford, or even the GE kind of manufacturing processes and stuff, like there were particular roles that were replaced. But that just meant that people were elevated, and because you had to have people to actually operate these machines, right? And you had to have new roles were created. So that's what's going to happen fundamentally with AI. Like, we will never actually be replaced as, well, actually, sorry, I shouldn't say that. How I should frame this is that our jobs will always be, new jobs will always be created, because that's just what we do as humans. We always want to be pushing ourselves, and we always need to be, you know, with that supervisory role, etc., whatever that is. Now, what I kind of wanted to, I think I need to come back to, I mentioned, oh gosh, what was that thread? So there's the AI replacing jobs part. Did I answer that question, by the way? I should just pause there. Do you think I answered that question?
Yeah, I think you answered, and I want to add only a little bit, you know, because for example, I don't think that you or I am have this crystal ball. We have no crystal ball, and we don't know what kind of future will be. But I know exactly we can adapt to anything that the environment will bring to us. You know, marketers on TV and radio didn't lose their jobs. They adapted to digital.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what kind of future will be. Robots, probably. Even today we have robot vacuum cleaner. You know, I have it in my room. So many things will come. But, you know, it's evolution. Evolution, we have these technologies. But you can adapt. You can find how you can go ahead with that. And if you have time to find excuses to complain, you can lose. But if you think how to adapt, how to win this game with new technologies, you will win 100%. You can outsmart others and go ahead. I don't worry about AI.
I remember now what I was going to come back to, which is, you know, we're talking about things moving into virtual, like physical businesses. And I fundamentally believe that some will, but what the great thing is, because again, humans, what is so core to humans is, again, I go back to connection. So the more that we push into virtual, and that's going to happen, the more that we're going to come back to our roots of, like, actually we just really want, and we saw that even with the pandemic, right? Like, people struggled to not be able to go out and meet their friends and family and, you know, and go to events and be around other people. So while there will always be this, like, push into virtual, because, and that's going to open a whole host of opportunities, I think there's going to be even more opportunities as well that happen in the physical space or business area that's going to be really around creating amazing experiences. So that's where I see that going, because fundamentally we're human, and human, we just can't not be around other people and be experiencing cool things.
Awesome I want to ask about your coaching business. You know, I think all consultants companies need to coach their clients, for example. I do a lot, because, for example, if what I found in our company, if my clients understand SEO, we can get great results. If they don't, it's hard. It's the same like if people want to lose weight. You can hire the best coach in the world. But if you don't know why you need to drink a lot of water, train hard, you know, many things, you can't achieve results.
Yes.
It's the same with SEO, any niche. But according to some studies, companies, people implement only 40% of all recommendations. So you can teach them, explain, but 60% of them are wasted. For example, if they pay you like 10K, yeah, 60K, 6K can be wasted. So can you tell your methods how to transfer data in your coaching experience that clients will understand, or students, how to implement, how to go ahead, how to provide practically all of that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is, I mean, I wish we could crack this particular nut. That would be a good one. Okay. So I think fundamentally what it comes down to is going to be repetition. I get asked all the time to be like, in the coaching space especially, it's like, how do we not give too much away? You know, when we talk about things in our podcast or when we create content, how do we not give too much away? And exactly to your point, the fact that like the amount of information A, that we're bombarded with, but that we actually retain, means that no matter how much you give away, people will just not be able to implement it all. So there will always be a room or space for, you know, people paying others to do things for them. And whatever that looks like, whether that's coaching, whether that's actually doing it, whether that's consulting, there will always be space for that. Because, and actually the more that you give away, the more that people actually trust you. It's like, again, this really circular thing where you kind of think you feel afraid that, oh, if you give away all of your strategies or secrets or whatever, that people will just be able to take that and implement. But honestly, the real truth is that, like, very, I would say 10% of people will actually, not even 10%, will actually implement anything that you say on any given day. The rest will just never get to it. They'll at them in the moment, they'll be like, oh my gosh, that was amazing, I'm going to go do that. But then life gets in the way, and business and all these other things get in the way, that they just won't do it. So I don't think that really answered your question, but essentially, in terms of how we get people success, it is in the persistence. It is in the just, you've got to sometimes like repeat yourself time and time again. Like, I will actually publish an old podcast episode that I did, just because I know that people need to rehear, the thing that I spoke about back however many months ago. And I'll do that because I will actually talk about the same topic, because again, even though some people might be like, oh, but I already spoken about that topic, it's like, you need to speak about it again. If it's that important and that core to your client, to your audience getting results, you need to keep speaking about it, because otherwise it's never going to sink in, and they're never going to be able to get to succeed, which is ultimately what we want for our clients at the end of the day. So repeating the things, we've just been at a tactical level, we've been experimenting with, transitioning some of the mode at which people learn. So we're going away from video and doing more audio style learning, so that people can, do other things while they're learning. We're trying to chunk things down so that we're only giving them like sub 10 minute kind of lessons. So there's just a few things that we're experimenting with. Exactly to your point, to be like, how do we actually help our clients implement and succeed?
Nice, nice. Awesome. Let's talk about something that I often do, about mistakes. In my life, I made a lot of terrible mistakes, slight mistakes, many mistakes, but I can learn from them. Mm-hmm. And I found two types of mistakes. The first type you can avoid, and the second, you need to do it to learn from them. Yeah. And yeah, that's okay to make mistakes. You can make a lot of things wrong, but you can learn from them and go ahead. But can you list mistakes that companies can avoid from your experience? I mean, like, to learn before doing them.
Oh my gosh. can they avoid? It's one of those things that I wish that I could very easily be like, oh yes, this is the one thing that you must avoid. But I actually kind of like fundamentally at my core believe that we all need to make these mistakes for us to learn. And the reason why I say that is because every person's experience and every person's situation is always very different. So even if I can give you a general thing like, you know, always monitor your cash flow, right? Like, for example, that's a very like, you know, but every the way or okay, let me, this is actually something on my something that's been on my mind, but I just recently read this book called Profit First, which is all about, you know, how to actually account for almost like banking your profit first before any of your expenses, which is a very like counterintuitive way of thinking about accounting and finances. And as I was reading this this book, I'm like, so generally it's like that could be a great mistake that we all can avoid, which is like how to do our accounting, our books the right way, quote unquote, if that was the way that, you know, you wanted to follow. But I'm like, immediately I'm thinking about but our circumstance is different because of X, Y, Z reasons. And everyone will have their own version of that. And so for me, and it's only now a year after going live with Capshow that I'm like, okay, now we're ready to actually implement this thing because the circumstances that I listed before where I was like, I don't think we can do it because of X, Y, Z is no longer in place. It's no longer the case. And so I don't have those, you know, whatever the, call them excuses, call them whatever it is that like, you know, I could, it was the reason why I couldn't do it in the first place. Yeah. But I had to go through that, right? Because it's not like at the very beginning, I could pick up this book, read it, be like, okay, this is the, I knew the general concept, but it's so hard to apply until I went through the journey of kind of making the mistakes to be like, oh, now I get it. Now I see why this is, you know, why this person, this author, this whatever, this expert told me to do it this way. And so I don't know whether there's anything that I can just be like, yes, just don't make this mistake. I kind of think like I can say those things, but I also think that off the back of that, we all have to go on our own journey to actually figure out how that applies to us and therefore learn from it to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I think excuses are equal to laziness. You know, it's almost the same. Yeah. And, you know, I listen to many podcasts, a lot of podcasts, but my time is limited, limited. And I usually pick what I can to listen because of limited time. And it concerns anything, blog posts, books. By the way, I think we can record another episode about books that you read. Many books. And, you know, I want to ask you how your podcast is standing out from the rest. I mean, like, what kind of difference you have? Because I don't know how many podcasts, probably million podcasts today. You can listen a lot of great podcasts. But what kind of benefits my audience can get by listening to your podcast?
Yeah. Okay. So this is really actually topical. I actually had I recorded a podcast episode, but I do a lot of editing on my episodes. Mm-hmm. I do a narrative style podcast where even if I have guests on, I will still narrate over that and join the pieces together for the listeners so that it's actually a really punchy, like very, you know, tangible episode. So my podcast is actually quite a tangible, like do the things, but it's also about the journey because I, like everyone else, my podcast is called Grow My Podcast Show. So it's all about growing a podcast. And I'm very upfront about the fact that I'm also on the journey. Like I've implemented a ton of things that I know work, but things change and I learn new things constantly. And so I'm also on the same journey as my audience. And so we'll also have particular episodes where we're like, okay, well, last week we heard from the founder of and CEO of Voxelize about how to do podcast visibility optimization. This episode, we're actually doing it. Like we did it and these are the results and this is what we did specifically so that you can actually see you can kind of model if you wanted what it is that we did and what we focused on to get the results that we did. So it's a very like tangible, tactical, very curated podcast. Now, what I would add to this, so that's like my podcast specifically. What I would add to this for anyone else who has a podcast is this concept of, you know, the best is so subjective. Like what does best mean? And I learned this from Jay Kunzo, actually. He's another prolific podcaster. And he talks about this example of like, you know, if I asked you, what do you think is the best Disney movie of all time? I don't know if you know many Disney movies, but you know, we would probably all have a different answer. Like some people would love Frozen, some people would love The Jungle Book, some people would love Beauty and the Beast, right? Like there is no like actual objective way to figure out what the best is. And so what we can as podcasters or content creators strive for is how do we become the favorite? How do we become the favorite podcast of our audience? And because that's the same thing. If I'm like, I love The Jungle Book, it's the best movie. I'm saying it's the best because it's my favorite, right? It's not because it's actually the best. So when we think about the content that we create, it's like, how do we make it so that it is the favorite of our audience? And that's why I also say in that recording part, if I go back to, you know, the podcasting or the publishing flow, why I say that juice that you bring as a personality, as a creator, should not be replaced by AI. The reason why I say that is because that's where you can really, really hone in on to figure out how to become the favorite. And favorite generally is because of who you are and the energy that you bring. It's also because of the premise of your podcast. So, you know, is it because you're, and again, this is another example that I'm totally stealing from Jay, but like, is it because you're interviewing celebrities? I think this is Hot Wings, actually. You're interviewing celebrities and they, as the questions get harder and hotter, they're eating hotter and hotter chicken wings. You know, like that's a really out there premise, but that actually is so novel and can be so entertaining that it becomes a favorite of people who'd love that premise. So for me, like in my podcast, my premise is all about, hey, come along this journey to us growing a podcast show, but do it in a way that is learning from experts in a curated way, and also from us doing it ourselves. Like that's our premise. And you know, and if you can connect with me and my Australian accent and you know this the level of energy that I bring, then you know that's how, from a podcasting perspective, we become a favorite podcast.
Nice. You know, you get a new subscriber. It's me. I'm going to subscribe, you know, because of two reasons. The first reason, I want to get this energy. I love it. Oh. And the second reason, I need this value. Yeah. I want to learn more about how to grow podcasts, how to go ahead with this format. And I know many companies still ignore this format. Mm. Yeah. It's not a good idea. You can get a lot more customers by using this format. And yes. I spoke one guest, and he told me that podcasting is the second resource of getting customers for his company. He he got great revenue, plus $1 million a month, and he spoke on podcasts. You know, it's the second resource of getting clients. So this format is amazing. Guys, I recommend to anyone, you can see a lot of value, to subscribe to the podcast. You can find the link in the description below. So I'm going to listen to new episodes. And I want to ask about your experience. You know, I often ask this question. For example, let's imagine you started today from scratch without any experience, knowledge, skills. It's your first day. You didn't record any episode. You didn't create any piece of content, but you want to join to this field. So tell, what will you do today if you started from scratch?
As in, what is the first activity that I would do, or what is the business that I would do?
You can touch both, but for example, you don't know what you need to do, because it's interesting. I have students, people who are asking, I want to start my journey. I wanted to go ahead. They don't know what to do first. I usually reply to them, just do it. It doesn't matter. You can make mistakes. Yeah, just do it. Anything, just do it. You can learn during the way. But according to your experience, what will you do today?
Yeah, and this is a really hard one to do. So I definitely do not, and I don't know whether I would be able to do this, but if I was like, for the perfect unicorn, if you were able to do this, I would just focus on building an audience. Like that is, and you don't need to know what it is that you do. I mean, maybe you do. I do have thoughts on, you know, building a good audience, like your niche. But fundamentally, if you can crack that skill of building an audience, then the rest just comes. Because, you know, when we think about monetization, the reason why so many businesses, I think, either take so long to grow or they just don't grow at all is because we get so wrapped up in like, we love this idea and we just want to bring the idea for our business to life. And we get so consumed with this thing that we forget that the only way that that thing can actually live and breathe is, you know, to get paid for it. And to do that, you need to build an audience that will actually be give you money at some point. And so we leave that until, like, we build this thing and we spend all this time perfecting the thing. And then we're like, ta-da, like, doors are now open and there's no one that we can, like, ta-da to. You know, it's like, oh, here's an empty room of no one. And, you know, that's actually a really big mistake, because then it takes another, you know, however long to actually get people into the room to then be like, yeah, come check out the thing that I just built. And they're like, well, that's great, but it's not going to be useful for me at all. And so, you know, the number one thing that if I were to talk to myself, and I don't think that I don't like, yeah, it takes a very disciplined person to do this, is to almost like put aside the building of the thing that you want to do and actually just focus on building your audience first, that you can then launch into. Austin Armstrong actually did this really well. So he's actually he's pretty big on TikTok and like on social media, but he just really focused on building an audience on the social media platforms. So when he launched his own software to them, like, he got signups like crazy. And that really is such a powerful way to start to build a business.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. By the way, I think if you build high quality product, it works well. So if you pay attention to that, to build high quality product and market, use sales, or you can build an audience, you know, a loyal audience, people who follow you, who wanna consume your content, then you can think how you can monetize. And it's a big mistake if you try to monetize in the beginning, you know, if you have no audience, and just forget about that. Enjoy the process. You know, for example, I love playing ping pong. You know, nobody pays for my hobby. It's my hobby. People are watching TV 6 hours a day. They pay for watching TV. It's the same with podcasts. Just enjoy the process. Go ahead, be persevering, consistent. Then results will come. When you have the audience, you can monetize. You can feel it. You have no special benchmark. You can feel it, that if you have questions, if you have active audience, so you can think how to monetize and to sell products, yours, affiliate marketing, anything. Mm-hmm. And my final question.
Yes.
I want to ask about the future. You know, I have my crystal ball.
Okay.
And my crystal ball doesn't work. I tried. I tried a few times. I bought crypto and I felt that crypto will go up. It went down. Luckily, I never put all eggs in one basket. So I'm okay with that. I can lose some money, you know, to test things. But I want to ask you about the future. You know, many things are coming. We have AI, probably augmented reality will come. We don't know. Apple is going to launch headset. What do you think, what kind of future will be in podcasting niche? Is it a good idea to start today, and how to adapt to this possible future?
Yes. Okay. So podcasting is typically quite a relatively slow moving industry, I would say, in terms of adoption. But I do think that there is so much scope for some really cool things, some really great experiences that can surround the podcasting industry. So, I know I mentioned before about the metaverse, and I actually know someone who's potentially going to work on this idea, but how do we almost bring podcasting into the metaverse so that it becomes a more full experience around that? So, you know, you almost feel like you're potentially in the same room or sitting at the same desk as the actual host of, you know, that's recording the podcast, you know, like, actually, because, you know, everything in the future, I do fundamentally believe, is going to be about experiences. It's going to be an experiential thing. So that's, you know, one way I think that, you know, we can see the future of podcasting be. Another way is if we think about, you know, efficiencies and AI and also experiences, it's like, how do we actually because the thing now that we're seeing with, you know, definitely podcasting, but social, like all of the, we're getting so much information coming at us. And I think more and more we're struggling with this whole, like, as humans, this whole decision fatigue thing and being able to very quickly pass through, you know, what it is that is important to us and things that, you know, we want to be able to, quote unquote, bookmark or to implement later on. And so that will become actually more of a priority if we think about short to medium term is, like, for me, for example, I listen to podcasts when I go running. I'm not going to stop. And we all do, like, some of us listen to podcasts while we're cooking, or some of us listen to podcasts while we're doing other things or driving. And the common thread to all of that is that none of us are at our desk, you know, with a pen and paper or with an open document, writing things down. And so, you know, I definitely think that there's scope in the short to medium term to be like, how do we make the podcasting consumption a lot easier and simpler? Where, for example, when I'm running and I'm like, oh, this is one thing I want to implement, it's like I can just, you know, speak in and be, just be like, okay, hey, I'll shoot off an email to my COO and be like, okay, we need to do this thing, right? Like on the fly. So that's like short to medium term. And I think medium to long term is that what I spoke about around the virtual, the metaverse, like experiences that can surround podcasting.
Yeah. It's good advice. I love it. You know, you need to make notes, you know, when you listen to podcasts. For example, Bill Gates shares how he reads books. He makes notes, you know, he makes notes and thinks how to adapt them, how to implement, how to go ahead. You can, you know, once I got the question from a listener, he asked me, if he listens all my episodes, can he become a great marketer? I replied, no, you can't. It's not like to learn everything. I can learn a teeny percent of all information that are coming every single day.
Yes.
It's impossible to read all blog posts, case studies, books. Yeah, even books, even if you stick with one format, I don't know how to read all these great books. Mm. But you can choose some books. You can listen to specific episodes and think more about testing things, about practice. Experimenting, then the results will come.
Yes.
It's a big pleasure to get on my show, to learn from you. I got this energy. I love it. To listen all your podcasts. Not all, but yeah, I will choose some episodes. Tell our audience the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Yes. So I know that this was all about getting your podcast discovered. So I have a really cool free gift, which it will also get you an extended free trial of Capture. But the free gift is it's a mini audio course. It's literally under 30 minutes about how you can get your podcast discovered in the app player. So, you know, Spotify, Apple iTunes, etc. And a little bit of a sneak peek onto how you can also start to use a podcast to get discovered through search, which I know you're an expert in, so I don't want to take away from that. But I do have a bit of a cheat sheet on how you can use a podcast to do that. So you can get that at freegift.capsho.com.
Nice. Awesome. I'll submit this gift in the podcast episode. Guys, you can find it. You can find all social media, website. So just open, subscribe to the podcast, keep learning and think how to implement things, how to go ahead. Okay, it's a big pleasure. Thank you. Thank you so much. I love all these valuable insights. I got this energy. I'm pretty sure that everyone got the same energy. And thanks, guys, for listening and watching us.
Thanks for listening to this entire podcast. Please rank your experience in Apple, Spotify, Google, or any other platforms that you may use. Also, please share your ranking mark on chat at seotools.tv to get a special gift. We'll see you soon on other valuable audio podcasts.